Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel presents to us one of the two theophanies. As you might know, theophany comes from Latin and Greek, the Latin word theophania, meaning an appearance of God to men. And from the Greek, theos, God, and phainē, to show, to manifest. One of the only two manifestations of God as Trinity that we can find in the Gospels. The first one, if you remember at our Lord's baptism, when we heard the voice of the Father coming from the clouds, where we saw Christ's presence being baptized, and when we saw also the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And the second one, in this beautiful mystery of the Transfiguration mentioned in today's Gospel. St. Peter, St. James, and St. John are granted with the most incredible mystery. God the Father, in His mysterious relation of love with His only begotten Son. The apostles become all of a sudden witnesses of the most intimate prayer that unites Christ with His Father. His prayer testifies to this unique relation that He has with His Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. What more precious help could the apostles expect than having before their eyes the glory of God, the proof of the divinity of Christ? No need for them of an act of faith, since Christ reveals Himself, His entire being, as true man and true God. What precious help for the apostles that soon will have to face the passion and death of their Master. Soon, we know that He will be persecuted, not only Him, but His apostles as well, accused, maltreated, mocked, and even put to death. God, in His immeasurable goodness, in His immeasurable mercy, has decided to strengthen their faith. Incontestable proof of His love, not only for them, but for us as well. Why this? Because if we look carefully, Christ proves His unique and exclusive relation as Son of God the Father, and He declares Himself Son of Men. And the disciples, who have a good knowledge, of course, of the Jewish faith, know that the expression Son of Man refers to the Messiah, to the Savior to come, Savior of Israel, their Redeemer. But then another truth is given by Christ, even more surprising truth. The Son of Man shall suffer, die, but rise from the dead. So the whole mystery of the Incarnation and of our own salvation can be summarized in the mystery of the Transfiguration that we find in today's Gospel. And yet, we all know the end of the story. Peter will soon deny our Savior in the Garden of Olives. Peter will soon deny Christ, not just once, but three times, right after telling Him, "I should die with you, I will not deny you." John and James won't have the courage to face the enemies of their Savior in the Garden of Olives. They will run away. And remember that John will run away naked. And if the evangelist thinks necessary to give this detail, it is certainly to emphasize his fear, his cowardice. Is it not to be feared that these disciples of his, when they witness his humiliations and sufferings, will lose their courage, says the great spiritual author, Don Geranger. Jesus selects three out of the number who are especially dear to him. Peter, whom he has made the rock on which his church is to be built, and to whom he has promised the key of the kingdom of heaven. James, the son of thunder, who is to be the first martyr of the apostolic college, and John, James's brother, his own beloved disciple. So Jesus has resolved to take them aside and show them a glimpse of that glory, which until the day fixed for its manifestation, he conceals from the eyes of mortals. Now, what about us? Chosen among many, we have become, because of our baptism, children of God, and we can now partake in the joy of the entire court of angels and saints in heaven, and already in some ways here on earth. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Yes, Lord, it is good for us to be here in your presence. Like the apostles, we rejoice in your presence. Our faith teaches us that your body, your blood, your soul, and your divinity are truly present in that little host, lifted up every day by your priest's hands. Like the apostles, we know that everything comes from you and shall return to you. We know that your precious blood is still running through the veins of your church today. That one single Mass is enough to prove the infinity of your love for us. But, unfortunately, like the apostles, we also have sinned like them, continues Don Guéranger. We have neglected to profit of the help that was sent us from heaven. We have shut our eyes against the light. We have forgotten the fair vision that was granted us and which made us so fervent and happy, and we fell. We have not then been tempted above our strength, says St. Paul, and it is indeed our own fault that we committed sin. We have all the means for our salvation, to obtain our salvation, to escape from the claws of the evil one. And we all know that it is a constant fight, sometimes a seemingly endless combat. And our Lord himself was tempted in the desert, as we read in last Sunday's Gospel. But in our fight, in our pilgrimage to Golgotha, we have many weapons available, many helps given to us. This is the theme of the Church's meditation today in the introit of the Mass, this first prayer of the Mass. It says, remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your kindness are from of old. Let not our enemies exult over us. Deliver us, O God of Israel, from all our tribulations. So if you seem to be overloaded, overwhelmed because of your sins, come to confession, receive the pardon of your sins with a contrite heart and a firm desire to sin no more. How many partial indulgences can we receive every day? How many plenary indulgences can we also receive? And as a reminder, an indulgence is the remission before God of the temporal punishment we deserve for our sins, although already forgiven, as far as their guilt is concerned. So we can acquire this remission with the proper dispositions and under certain determined conditions through the intervention of the Church, as you know, confession, communion, detachment from sin, and prayer for the intention of the Pope. You come to adoration for half an hour, and I just announced that on Friday, next Friday, you'll have that possibility to attend, to be present for adoration. You come to adoration for half an hour, you confess your sins, either today or sometimes during the week, you pray for the intention of the Pope, one Our Father, one Hail Mary, one Glory Be. You have this intention to be detached from sin, either mortal or venial sin, and that's it. You gain a plenary indulgence. And as a little reminder, a plenary indulgence is granted on each Friday of Lent and Passiontide to the faithful who, after receiving communion piously, recites the prayer that you certainly all know, "Behold, O good and most sweet Jesus," before an image of Christ crucified. Prayer that you can find in every missal. A plenary indulgence is also granted to the faithful who makes the pious exercise of the Stations of the Cross publicly here Every Friday you have this opportunity given to you. And the list of graces and helps and indulgences that we can receive each day is, of course, innumerable. So what is our response to Christ? What is our response to His passion and death for us? One single drop of His precious blood would have been enough to save the entire humanity, because He is God, and only Him can fill that gap between us and Him, between us as creatures and Him as infinite being. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holiness, the word is strong. There is no place for any mediocrity. And if we have fallen in a form of spiritual mediocrity during this Lenten season, it is not too late to go back on track. If we have fallen into a certain spiritual sloth lately, a spiritual laziness, let us look at the cross and pull all the courage we need out of it. And let me simply conclude with this nice prayer that we find in one of the stations of the cross that are recited in our apostolates. For the fourth station, it says, "Dear Jesus, help us to be fully conscious of the ugliness of sin. Help us to understand more and more how cruel and heartless we are for continuing to sin without making an earnest effort to resist temptation. Help us with thy grace to detest sin from now on with all our strength, and to avoid the near occasion for sin by thinking frequently of what thou hast suffered for our sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen."